summer, one enough to pay the loan. Couldn't buy the seed to plant this spring. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. 80 shootings, according to Everytown, 80 shootings in schools across the U.S. since Donald Trump became president. 80. And I know, it's not the gun. It's the people. But again, the gun helps. And you think about all of these horrible tragedies like yesterday. How many of those lives could have been saved? How much of this could have been saved? And look, this isn't a Washington, D.C. problem. This is a Republican Party problem. This is an NRA problem. This is something that I absolutely believe that we most certainly could solve. But here to talk about this, also some other news around the Trump administration, I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us, co-founder of the Democratic Coalition. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm looking at this. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm tired of the news being dominated by tragedies that I think we can stop.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. And you know, I think it's just got to come. It's got to be sort of along the lines of a revolution when it comes to going from gun laws that are based in the Wild West to the fact we have modernized weapons, because I don't believe that the founders intended for my neighbor to have an assault rifle, and a sniper that can, you know, take somebody out from, you know, thousands of feet away. Like, I don't think that was their intention. I think defending your property and things like that. So I think that we just need to, we're at a point where we need to stop. We need to look at what we're doing and see, not just in a small kind of build, but see in every single way, from every single angle, how can we prevent what happens from ever happening again? Like, what can we do in every single way? And I don't even see that happening. I don't see any study groups getting together. I don't see them willing to do any research about anything. So, you know, right now it's kind of like at a standstill here in Washington. I think they're waiting to see whether or not public opinion is going to move away from this. So we need to make sure that we push it hard. And that's obviously hard with DACA also coming up on expiration. So we've got a couple of fights to have right now.
Yeah, I mean, but I look at this and look, I agree with you. And in fact, I just said, you know, the founding fathers could have never fathomed a killing machine as efficient and as accurate as an AR-15 or other things that the right wing continues to push through their giveaways. And in fact, there have been some places, some of these right wing groups who are actually trying to teach people how to build automatic weapons. And you go, at some point, we as a civil society, don't we have to push back on this? I know there's this love affair, this kind of fetish idea of you know, this phallic idea of guns. In fact, I've had some of the most X-rated conversations with people who just can't wait to pull out their big gun and stick it to somebody. These are the kind of people I don't want to have guns.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a different kind of disease where some people do think, they panic and they think that they need to have these weapons. Or else, and it's the same kind of scare tactics used on them that Trump uses on us. It's the same sort of bullying mentality where, you know, the NRA and their lobbying group, they don't want to bend or budge on any single issue, even with bump stocks in you know, machine guns. They really, you know, I don't know at what point where it's just not worth it. I'm sick and tired like you of seeing these kids, you know, they turn into adults overnight, you know, 15-year-old people that should be having fun and enjoying high school, and they're getting shot. And you know, maybe every single elected needs to watch the security footage from every school shooting that had security cameras in it, including Newtown.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to see all the evidence. They need to be presented with the case. They need to have all the parents speak in front of them, all the victims, all the brothers, all the sisters, all the grandparents. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it takes some of the kids that are still kids that are, you know, survivors of shootings. But it seems like they're just not listening because of money.
And that, it comes down to that, doesn't it? I mean, you know, the NRA has such sway with the Republican Party and some Democrats as well, that this issue just doesn't seem to ever go away. And look, I mean, there's even a whole push in this right-wing echo chamber to not blame the gun. It's not the gun. It's either the person, or you've got the Alex Jones types saying it's a false flag, it didn't happen. You've got all of this just mindless brainwashing going on. That at some point, don't we need like a collective shaking awake?
I mean, it's the gun. I mean, like, it's absolutely, you know, the firepower that people use. We can ban these weapons. Like, it's not impossible to fathom that we ban, you know, weapons of mass destruction like this. Combining with a gun buyback program, you know, that's something that Australia did, and they haven't had a mass shooting in over two decades. So there's a lot of little things that we can also do involving background checks. I mean, it really should be harder to get a gun license than a driver's license. People should be required to sit in front of law enforcement officers and do an interview before they get a permit for a gun. It should be more extensive. There should be training required with it. You know, I mean, it should be a lot more intensive than just driving a car. I mean, that's my thought.
No, I agree with you.
We're in trouble here, you know?
No, I agree with you, but here's the NRA argument. You don't have a right to drive a car. You don't have a right to do any of those things you said, but you have an absolute unfettered right to bear arms. At least that's the argument. And I always throw back, well, can I have a nuclear weapon? Can I have a stealth bomber? You know, can I have all of these things? And well, no. So then, you know, we already have gun control. We already have it. It's just, where do we draw the line?
Well, cars help you pursue your life and liberty. So I would say, you know, it's not in the pursuit of happiness in today's world, you're going to need a car.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Scott. You don't have an absolute right to it. We take people's license away all the time. You don't have an absolute right. Their argument is the gun, you have an absolute right.
Well, we just need to say that that's stupid. I mean,
that's
like,
the answer.
You know, I mean, like we need to come up with something like, well, you know, that's great that a bunch of racists that owned slaves like a couple hundred years ago wrote that part down. They did not expect for people to have like missile launchers, and like they didn't expect this sort of technology to build. So let's be real about it. Let's look at the reality of things. Like, what kind of weapons do people actually need? Like, what, you know, I understand the debate about handguns and things like that. But to think that you need to be armed and you're going to save the day if there's a school shooting, if you are armed, I mean, there's a lot of just farce out there. We need to get over the fact that, you know, everybody shouldn't be walking around with weapons. That's not going to solve the problem.
No, not at all. But, you know, here's the thing. And we watch far too much television because, you know, the mm-hmm. television thing is, you know, there was a good guy with a gun, and that narrative has been thrown at us a bunch of times. And the reality is most of the time you're frozen like everybody else, or there's a possibility that you're going to get picked off yourself because the cop doesn't know whether you're a good guy with a gun or a bad guy with a gun.
Yeah, and that's happened before. There was a guy that went to detain a woman in a parking lot, and then he didn't know there was actually a second person who robbed, I think it was a Walmart parking lot, and he got shot by the guy while he was trying to detain, you know, the person. I mean, there's a lot of instances of that where things went wrong. You know, they shot a wrong person, like a bystander, and then they eventually were charged for that shooting, even though they were trying to, you know, help people out. And it's just, you know, I think there's an epidemic of violence and an illness surrounding the fact that people think that they need these gigantic weapons. And I don't, you know, I don't even think that my military friends would think that they need those type of weapons here at home. So I think it's going to involve getting people together, a lot of veterans, a lot of current and former law enforcement officers, and everybody who's a victim, getting together with the NRA and figuring out how we can fix this mess.
Yeah.
Because we need to do it together.
You said getting together with the NRA. I don't think the NRA should be part of this conversation at all. I don't think they can be. I think they are so in control of the gun industry, and the gun industry is so in control of them that I don't think – I think they are so badly corrupted and perverted, and you just throw the word in there, that I don't think they should be allowed to be part of the conversation.
Let me reverse that and say supporters of the NRA is what I meant.
Okay.
Not the NRA itself. My bad. I don't believe that the lobbyists at the NRA should have a part in this conversation, because we know exactly their endgame. But people like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and people who get a lot of financial support, we're going to have to work with on this one. But I think it's like, you know, getting them in the room and confronting the truth of the matter. You know, what do you really want? And then, you know, I think a lot of people are on the same page, but they're afraid to step out on it because they feel like it's going to backlash. And I can tell you for sure, I've had candidates in the past that, you know, are Democrats and Blue Dogs and, you know, the pro-Second Amendment in there. They get threatened very clearly. Like, if you, you know, go against us, we're going to primary you. If you go against us, you know, you'll never work in politics again. Like, those sort of very clear, it's sort of a threat, but in the end of the day, like, they will, their members will follow, you know, whatever their lead is. So if they choose a candidate to challenge a congressman, a lot of times they'll do it, and they'll back it up with dollars too, and it will be a viable challenger. So it's a real threat in their minds. But, you know, it's like, what are you doing there? If you're scared of this, if you're scared of some challenger, if you're scared of some guy with money, then what are you doing in Congress? Like, just go work as a lobbyist somewhere. You know, don't waste our time here. We're here to do work,
right?
Not just sitting on our hands business.
Yeah, but isn't the other side of that, you know, us, we the people, we the voting populace? Because, look, the NRA has, what, about 5 million members? You know, isn't that the rest of us going, any candidate who takes NRA money, sorry, we're not voting for you. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, you take a dime from the NRA, we're not voting for you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even the you know, they're not really giving a ton of money directly to the candidates. You know, it's a lot of peripheral spending, but the candidates know it's happening and they know if it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it's a big difference in there. And so I think that's, it's going to be another line to draw. You know, do you stand with DACA? Do you support gun reform? Do you support, you know, women's rights? Like, there's a lot of different things where it's line items where we can finally say, you know, there's some up and down issues, and guns are going to be one of them. You know, where do you stand on this? On top of whether or not they're going to accept money outside or not, you know, they can sort of refuse outside help or spending on top of contributions for their campaign. And I think it's not hard to request that they publicly denounce the NRA on top of all of that.
Right.
I mean, I think that we're at that point now.
So last question on this topic then, you know, do you think anything's going to come of this? I know Nancy Pelosi's going to wants to have a vote. I know that's going to be a great fundraising drive for the NRA. I know the gun industry's got to be tickled pink because they're going to be able to advertise and sell some more guns. You think anything happens in this tragedy, or is it just another repeat of what we've seen tragedy after tragedy? A lot of hot air and no real action.
You know, I don't think anything will happen. I hate to be pessimistic about it.
Got to be realistic.
I think if it's still being covered on Monday and Tuesday of next week, then we still have some legs behind it. But as disgusting and sad as it is, you know, I'm not sure. After Newtown, I lost all hope in regards to that. So I just don't know what would be a pivot point. I hope that they'll still be covered. I hope that they'll still be digging into it. I'm just so, you know, I just have my doubts because of, you know, history.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's learned. I mean, this is, we know how this is going to roll out, and sadly, nothing seems to ever change. I want to switch gears for a second because today we see that Trump campaign advisor, Rick Gates, it's reported that he's finalizing a plea deal with the Mueller investigation, with Robert Mueller. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be something that's worse for Trump or worse for Manafort? How do you see this playing out?
I think it's going to leverage, you know, I think it's going to leverage Manafort into making a deal. I really think, you know, with Flynn and Papadopoulos and now Gates, like, coming into a deal, this is bad news for Trump. Because Gates was senior, Gates was knowledgeable of everything that was going on. And you know, this has been something that they dropped some hints about a few weeks ago. And now that it's coming true, it verifies a lot of other things involving the scandal, because if you're willing to plea, you know, that probably means he's going to plead guilty to something. On top of that, things were bad enough that he has to take a plea.
Right.
So that means Mueller, whatever Mueller has, is enough to make these people who, you know, probably a year ago would say and mean it that they never turn on Trump ever. And now, you know, here we are. So whatever Mueller has is enough to turn them upside down. On top of that, you know, Bannon talked to Mueller and his team for 20 hours over the last few days. I'm not sure if it was the end of last week, but it's over 20 hours. And he's not willing to talk to the, I guess it was yes or no answers in the House Intel Committee, but he's not willing to do as much talking as with him. So, you know, I think at this point, they're cornering Trump in five different ways, and they're all different crimes, and only one of them has to do with Russia. So, you know, I think he's outnumbered, he's outmanned, he's overextended, he has too many scandals going on right now, and this is going to come to a head, at least publicly, where we can see, you know, some real evidence coming out in the coming weeks, leading into March.
Is this the dam breaker? Is this the one that finally everyone starts to go, uh-oh, we better start saving our skin? Because as you've said, you know, Bannon was willing to talk all of that, you know, because I see Bannon as someone who, there's no question, he would throw Trump under the bus to save his own skin. Do you see this as that next step of going, okay, now the floodgates are going to open?
Yeah, I mean, I can say this with confidence that Bannon definitely was probably willing to dish on Jared and Ivanka and Don Jr. And remember, Bannon was in that Russian lawyer meeting in Trump Tower. So he's knowledgeable on a lot of different fronts. Who helped write that follow-up letter to help cover it up? You know, on the airplane, did Trump help dictate it and those kind of confirmations? And did Donald Jr. get any dirt from Hillary during that meeting? Did Donald Trump meet with these people as well? Did Ivanka Trump do more than stand in the elevator with these people? You know, and so there's a lot of questions like that. But, you know, think of how much evidence he has at this point. You know, it's kind of like Bannon can't lie when he goes in there. And so, you know, they're going to get the answers they need, and they probably already have those answers, but they need him on the record, you know, confirming a lot of things and then also expanding those stories. So right now, I would look at the world stage right now, and you can see there's different evidence leaking out from different countries that are helping us. You heard something, you know, about the Dutch, how there's CCTV camera between hackers that are in Russia, where they actually have visual of the people hacking us.
Yep.
In Russia. There's going to be things like that, like Netanyahu may get indicted. That's one of Trump's buddies. You see these things start to chip away, and these scandals start to spread, like the VA scandal now. We'll probably see a couple resignations coming out of there. We're going to see more resignations from the Porter scandal. And these are just fires that you can't really put out at this point because you're overextended. So in some means, we're definitely going to be seeing an end here, whether resignation or impeachment. I'm guessing, like, I'll stick with my old sentiment that it's going to be resignation, once presented with facts and, you know, the truth. I think that a lot of Americans will be on board with supporting that. And yes, we will be stuck with Pence. And that's just something we're going to have to deal with. And we'll have to confront the Russia subject and all his involvement with the cover-up once he becomes, I would assume, president. I don't think at this point that Pence there's no opportunity for him to go unless Trump makes it happen himself. So I would expect Trump to resign, Pence becomes president, and then we fight against him.
Yeah. Do you see Trump doing the scorched earth thing? I mean, I don't see him resigning. I just don't.
I've seen him, at least in his business sense, I've seen him do this quiet exit a lot of times when he gets whatever he wants out of the situation. So I wouldn't be shocked if he were to walk. In this way, he may want to go out quietly so that, you know, whoever's next, Pence probably would be able to pick up things a lot smoother and it would look cleaner and prettier. Knowing what I know, I would assume the absolute worst, that he will go down fighting and fire everybody and, kind of his last stand. So I don't think he's just going to walk away. I think he's going to try and cause as much disorder as he can before he does that, and eventually give in. Whether it's going to be Porter, or the porn star scandal, it's ridiculous. Like, I can't even fathom if Obama did any single one of these things, how quickly he would not be in office anymore, and how quickly I would support his removal from office.
Exactly. I guess that's the difference between the right and the left. The right, they're going to go down with the ship. They're going to back him until the very end, I think. Until they can't anymore.
Yeah, I think some will. Yeah. Some will. Hopefully some will jump. But, we can be hopeful. But I just doubt at this point. I mean, you saw, I call him a spineless jellyfish. I said that Paul Ryan, his picture will be next to that in the dictionary, because you can't, like, look at the leadership that we have. He came out all gallantly today, like, we're ready to do stuff. I'm sorry for the survivors, but now's not the time to talk about guns and gun safety and gun control, gun reform, any of it. We shouldn't talk about it. And it's just like, what planet do you live on? Like, what you think you live in, like, some bubble, and you don't have any accountability for anything, and you're going to be in this job forever, and Trump's going to protect you for the rest of your life. Like, I just wouldn't trust him for a second. And I would say to most people that if you're a Republican, you need to make a choice again, not just with guns, but with Russia as well. Are you going to choose your party over your country? And it's just going to be another example of them choosing party over country, whether it's Russia or whether it's guns or whether it's healthcare or whether it's, money in general or corruption or ethics in general, the rule of law. And even I sincerely believe if he went through and he fired Rosenstein and Mueller, the Republican Party would look and shrug their arms up and be like, well, there's nothing we can do. That's how terrible it is.
I'm with you. And that's why we've got to continue to organize, continue to have our voices heard, continue to speak out. And if it does happen, if they do fire Rosenstein or Mueller, we take to the streets. Scott, always great talking to you. I appreciate the time. I'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And everybody, keep your head up. We can push this to the max. I think we're going to be taking it to another level next week, and we'll definitely be pushing on the gun reform front, but also with DACA.
Look forward to it. Thanks so much, Scott. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.